ariel y luego repetición.
Namaste, Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane, Naravishya Chasinyavani Parasrachare Shatarane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Devi Nikatanda, Sri Vasanti Gaur Bhakta, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Verse Nayasya deva urashaya param didu
Nayasya deva urashaya param didu
Jantupana korhati gantam irtum
Jantupana korhati gantam irtum
Yatana tasya grita divichestato
Yatana tasya divichestato
Yurachayanu brahmana samavitu An artist on stage being covered by attractive dresses and dancing with different movements is not understood by his audience. Similarly, the activities and features of the supreme artist cannot be understood even by the demigods or great sages, and certainly not by those who are unintelligent like animals. Neither the demigods, nor sages, nor unintelligent can understand the features of the Lord, nor can they express in words his actual position. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give you protection. Purport, a similar understanding is expressed by Kunti Devi. The Supreme Lord exists everywhere within and without. He even exists within the heart. Savasacham Hridi Sannivisto Ishvara Sarabhutanam Hridesher Pratishtati. Thus, it is indicated that one can find the Supreme Lord within one's heart. There are many, many yogis trying to find him. Dhyana avastita tadgatena manasapasanti yam yoginaha. Nonetheless, even great yogis, demigods, saints, and sages have been unable to understand the bodily features of that great artist, nor could they understand the meaning of his movements. What then is to be said of ordinary speculators, of the so-called philosophers of this material world? For them, he is impossible to understand. Therefore, we must accept the statements given by the Supreme when he incarnates to instruct us. We must simply accept the word of Ram, Chandra, Lord Krishna, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and follow in their footsteps. Then it may be possible for us to know the purpose of their incarnations. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatara chakvadeyam puna jamanati eti sorjuna. So, by the Lord's grace, one can understand and one will immediately be delivered, even within his material body. The material body will no longer have any function of whatever activities take place with the body, will be activities of Krishna consciousness. In this way, one can give up his body and translation, artists on stage being covered by attractive dresses and dancing with different movements is not understood by his audience. Similarly, the activities and features of the supreme artist cannot be understood even by the demigods or great sages, and certainly not by those who are unintelligent like animals. Neither the demigods and sages nor the unintelligent can understand the features of the Lord, nor can they express in words his actual position. May that Supreme Personality of God give me protection. So the previous verses were actually explaining the activities of the Supreme Lord, his qualities, his greatness, and how he manifests the material world and then makes it disappear. And he is all the time detached from everything, knowing everything, witnessing everything, in control of everything, and particularly in relation to the material world. And yet he is not in any way affected by it, and none of the qualities of the material world can be blamed upon the Supreme Lord. So, he is in a very exalted position because of this, the power and knowledge and all the activities he does. And this verse shows that in that position as the Supreme Lord, he cannot be understood properly. So here it says the devatas, the rishis or sages, and others, jantu, other living entities like human beings and animals or whatever, cannot understand. They cannot attain him. They cannot express him. They cannot explain him by their words because of his completely unique position. So this implies that the Supreme Lord is not material. And the devas and rishis and others have material minds, material intelligence, material words, etc. So they can't explain or understand the Supreme Lord with those material means because he's completely different. So in other words, the Supreme Lord is real. He has real activities. And he even is in charge of controlling the material world, which is real, but he's not material. Completely different from this material realm. And therefore, even the greatest sages and devatas cannot really understand him or know him. Of course, this is not an absolute statement because if nobody could know him,
then what's the point of being in the material world? We'd be in ignorance forever. So there is means by which a devata or even an animal can know the Lord, and that's Gajendra himself speaking here. He's an animal. So yes, there are means by which even animals can know the Supreme Lord. That's the mercy of the Supreme Lord, of course, and process of bhakti. But in general, with our normal thought processes and words, we cannot understand the Supreme Lord, and consequently, we have no way of seeing him, approaching him, knowing him, or attaining him. Impossible. An example is given here of Nata, which is can be some sort of artist, a dancer, an actor, etc. Who performs different activities. What does the actor do? He acts. He performs plays or dramas. And in those dramas, if he is skillful, he fools everybody. And they think he's somebody else. So if someone's playing Ramchandra, then you think, oh, here's Ramchandra. Or someone's playing Krishna, you think, oh, he's Krishna. Whatever. Somebody's Ravana, you think, oh, he's Ravana. So the actor dresses up in a certain way and acts with certain skill. And everyone thinks, oh, he is that somebody else. So he's not just an ordinary human being who is pretending. We identify with that person. In the same way that the Supreme Lord does everything but cannot really be understood, it's the same way we have an actor who does certain things, but it's actually difficult to identify with the actor. We identify with the character he's playing. This is easier to identify that than to understand, oh, he's actually somebody else. If we're always thinking, oh, he's that other person, then we will not identify with the drama at all. We'll have no interest in the drama. But the skill of the actor is that suddenly we forget about that person and we identify with the person that he's acting, like Krishna or Rama or Ravana or whatever. That is the skill of the actor. So very difficult to switch back and say, oh, actually, it's not Ravana or it's not Rama. So this is, of course, a material example in which the actor disguises himself and we identify with the false form that he is enacting. So we can't really understand who that person is, the real person. So similarly with the Supreme Lord. In many ways, we can speculate, maybe God exists, maybe he doesn't exist, and if he exists, like this or like that. So, with intelligence, some people try to do that. We call them speculators. And a speculation is not perfect. We can use our intelligence, but we may not come to the correct conclusion. So many examples of that. Of course, we can speculate, no God exists. That's one thing. So then the cause is simply material nature itself. So that, in that sense, the Supreme Lord is completely hidden from those people. Then we say, okay, somebody exists, something exists. So a common example is, we have all the things in the material world, such as flowers and trees and animals and human bodies. We cannot make these things. We intelligently try to make a body or a flower. We cannot do so. Nobody's produced a flower yet or a thing. All we can do is get on the computer and make an image that looks like a flower, or the artist can paint a flower or a face or whatever. And that requires intelligence. But that intelligence is not enough to actually make the real thing again. So then, if it takes intelligence to make an artificial flower or an artificial form, how much more intelligence is needed to produce a real flower that lives and makes seeds or the body of the human being, etc. So that's, we can with our intelligence, we can do that. Prabhupada also gives this example. I think it's also in so many other books, like scientific basis of Krishna consciousness. So this is not an absolute proof of anything. It's also a speculation of sorts, because it takes intelligence to make things in this material world, and we can see that, and therefore these things which are made very intricately living forms must require some intelligence also, that we can assume that, but it's not a perfect analogy also. So that's one way in which we can speculate, but that's as far as we can go. Something intelligent may have made these things in the material world somehow or other. That's all we can say. That's as far as we can go. It's not an absolute proof of anything. So there is some intelligence. Does he have a form or not have a form? We don't know. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. If he has a form, what is the form? And then more speculation. What color is it? We don't know. It's completely speculation. There's no way of knowing it by looking at the material. What is the color of God? We can't know. If he is an animal, a human being, he has 6 arms, 26 arms, or 2,000 arms, or 1 head, or 5 heads, we can never know. Speculation only. Form or no form, we can't say. Now, of course, philosophers can speculate again and say, well, everything in this material world has a form. Therefore, the creator must have a form also. Another speculation. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. If he is superior to our experience, he may not have a form. So, some little speculation we can do, and we can be correct, but the further and more details we try to get about this creator, if he exists, the more it is speculative, the more it is speculative. Very difficult to know. So on our own, or as sages or philosophers or David does, on our own, we cannot really understand that Supreme Lord. He may be like this, he may be like that, or whatever. In the material world, who's this famous actor? Rajinikanth or whatever. Yeah, okay. So you see him in the movies all the time. You don't read about the things in the magazines about his life. So you can speculate anything. Who he is, who's he married to, who are his children. You can speculate. You'll never know just by looking at the movies. You'll never know what his real life is like. Huh? You could guess like anything, but you can't really know. So like that, from the material world, we can guess about the Supreme Lord, maybe something is right, then so many things are wrong also. So, this is how, this is what is represented here. On our own, we cannot know about this Supreme Lord. He's completely hidden from us. What makes it a little different from this example is that the actor is a material person, and of course, if we are inquisitive, we can really get some information about him. We can spy on him, go to his house, and spy on him and understand what his real life is like. Right, it's a material entity. Supreme Lord, we don't know. We cannot even, maybe we can see him with our material eyes, maybe we can, we don't know. However, we do know that people endeavor, and they can't find him anywhere. Yeah? So he must be invisible to us, to our eyes, or he must be very far away. Yeah? So the universe is how many trillions and billions of kilometers across? He must be further away than that, probably. Somewhere so inaccessible we can't get to him. We don't know. So, if he's not even approachable by us, not just by distance, but because we can't even see him with these eyes, or conceive him properly with our material minds, or be conscious of him with our consciousness, even because it's material consciousness, then there's no hope at all of understanding him. So, this is the nature of the Supreme Lord. Now, the previous verses actually gave us some clues by stating the qualities and activities of the Lord. So, we can know the Lord. but not by our own intelligence, etc. We can know by Scripture. Yeah. So though this says you cannot know the Lord or whatever, we can know the Lord if we go to Scripture. So, there is possibility of understanding about the Supreme Lord by Scripture. So Scripture makes statements about the Lord. So we can argue with that and say, well, Scriptures are material. They're made of material sounds, which represent words, and the words represent material objects. In other words, every single word has a material sound attached to it and has a material meaning. We're talking about things of this material world with all of our words. So how can Scriptures be different from the material world? They're only representing something material. So therefore, Scripture is also Maya. How can Maya produce truth? Spiritual truth, something different from the material world. In other words, if we're going to speak about God, God must be like us and be material somehow or other, maybe more subtle or whatever, but he also must be material, because words can only express something material. However, we know from Scriptures itself, the opposite is stated. He's non-material. He has no material form, no material qualities, etc. How can we justify Scripture? Is it Maya or not Maya? So, the answer is actually given in the Bhagavatam itself. Particularly in the 87th chapter of the 10th canto, where the question is asked by Parikshit to Sukadeva, and again it is asked by the sages, finally, the Supreme Lord gives an answer, and that is, the question is, how can material words indicate something which is beyond words? Of course, the other implication is that, if we're atheists is one thing, the other is impersonalism. Impersonal Brahman has no form and no qualities. Therefore, how can material words, which represent material qualities and material things, describe God? Brahman. He's beyond material words. Impossible. Okay. So we can just use the word Brahman as representative. It's also Maya, because it's also a material sound. But we indicate by only by negation for itself. It is nothing material. It has no birth and death. It is not unconscious, etc. It has no suffering. So we negatively say something, maybe, that's all. So that is one thing. The other implication of the question is that, of course, the implication, my implication is Scriptures are useless if it is Brahman. They ultimately cannot describe. So the answer given to that question is that Brahman is not formless and without qualities, and therefore can be described. But how can words that we have in this world describe that, those form and qualities? Are they material qualities of God or not? So the answer is that though these words of Scripture look like they're material, they're not. They have an appearance of being material. Just like when the Supreme Lord comes into the material world, oh, everyone can see him. Shishupal sees, oh, he's just a material coward. That's all. Looks material, but he's not. It looks like he's born, looks like he dies, but he doesn't. He's not born, doesn't die. So the materialist can see God but think he's a materialist. So the materialist can look at the words of Scripture, ah, oh, has material appearance to it. Those who are qualified get access to the spiritual sound. For that reason, the Vedas originally were not given to unqualified people. Sudras could not hear the Vedas, because only they'll hear material sound. The Puranas, however, and the Mahabharata are meant for the people of Kali Yuga, so even Sudras and outcasts, and everybody can hear them. And they're still spiritual. So, somehow, even the most unqualified people can get access to the spiritual sound of Puranas and Mahabharata. Though they technically cannot get access to the Vedas. Only qualified people, particularly Brahmins, can get access to the Vedas. But even unqualified people can get access and get the spiritual import of Puranas and Mahabharata, Smritis. So, in other words, the spiritual quality remains there in these works, even if it's read by unqualified people. But there is some qualification necessary also. It is not a Varna qualification of Sudra, Brahmana, etc. The qualification is devotion. If you have devotion or bhakti, then you are qualified for hearing Bhagavad Gita and getting the correct meaning, or hearing the Bhagavatam and getting the correct meaning, the proper truth, getting knowledge, real knowledge. So if we have devotion and we approach the scriptures, we can get the proper knowledge of who is the Supreme Lord, and it is not material. So the knowledge presented in scripture is not material knowledge. It is not material words. It is spiritual. How is it possible that words can have two different functions, material and spiritual? How is it possible? It's because of the Shakti of the Lord. Now, how does it operate? We have the Shakti of Bhakti. So if we hear with devotion, if it is spoken with devotion, it becomes spiritual. If it is heard with the opposite of Vaishnava intentions, it becomes material. So this is stated, like the milk. Milk is nourishing. You drink it, you get some nourishment. It's pure. However, if we mix some poison in it and you drink it, you don't get nourished at all. You may die. So the same substance, depending on what's mixed with, gives different results. So if we mix the words of scripture with material minds and material tongues and material things, then poison. And material. It's only material. If it is delivered by the devotees of the Lord, it maintains its spiritual status. It is potent spiritually. So therefore, the words of the scripture can represent the Supreme Lord, and they can describe the Lord, because he has spiritual qualities and spiritual form and spiritual activities. So the Bhagavatam describes the activities of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the form of Krishna, etc., and it's not material. Because it is presented with devotion. So there is access to the Supreme Lord in spite of the fact we're in the material world. So though it is said here that the rishis and the devatas and the living entities cannot understand or approach the Supreme Lord, that's a general statement. We can do it through scripture, through the devotees of the Lord, through the process of bhakti, but not otherwise. So in that sense, it is rare that people will have an understanding of the Lord. So for the common people, yes, he is cannot be understood. He's like everybody identifying with the actor, and we can speculate about who he actually is. So this is the position of the Supreme Lord. He is in this position. Why? Because he is completely separate from the material world and completely different from the material world by nature. Material world is achit and is tainted with ignorance. Supreme Lord is chit, no ignorance. So necessarily, though he participates in the material world and creates it and whatever, very difficult to access him because of that. Nevertheless, being very, very merciful, he comes into the material world as avatar. When he does so, not only the qualified devotees can see him, but even the unqualified people can see him. even the demons can see him. And because the demons see him, they also get great benefit. When Krishna comes, they can even get liberation or go to Vaikuntha. So, this is the special mercy of the Lord. He enters into the material world and even people with no qualification with their eyes can see him somehow or other. But preferable, of course, is have spiritual eyes, then we can really appreciate the Supreme Lord. So this is the purpose of the Lord's advent, not simply to show himself to materialists who don't appreciate him, but to associate and give inspiration to the devotees. So therefore the devotees in the material world appreciate the Lord when he comes, and they can advance, you know, because of him. But this is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So we have an example in Krishna's pastimes. Brahma is a devata. He is the head of the devatas. And he knows, actually, that Supreme Lord has come because he asked Brahma, and Brahma asked Supreme Lord, and then Supreme Lord said, I will come in the material world. And then he appeared from the womb of Devaki, and he had his four arms, and he said, see, I'm like Vishnu. Everybody, devatas were there, and you. Then later on, Brahma came. When he heard the commotion in the higher planetary systems when Krishna killed Agasura, and Agasura emerged into Krishna's body, and then got a Vishnu form in Vaikuntha, Vishnu Buddha form. And the devatas were astonished, and they were praising Krishna for giving liberation to a demon. And then Brahma heard that. And he said, why are they all so excited? So he came down and then he saw Krishna there. And Krishna, what was he doing? He was eating lunch with the cowherd boys. And in one hand he had curd rice and he had some pickles. In the other hand he had some food also. He had some food on his body also. And he was just playing with the food. So then Brahma said, how can this be God? How can this be the Supreme Lord? Is it really him? So therefore, he also could not understand Supreme Lord. Even he knew, somehow he forgot. So therefore, the Lord can appear in the material world, and even the devatas and others who is a devotee of the Lord, like Brahma, and still they can misunderstand the purpose and the intentions of the Lord and forget about who he is. Very difficult to understand, even for some devotees. But, again, by the will of the Lord, he can reveal himself. So later on, he revealed himself to Brahma again. And then Brahma understood how Krishna is, has got so much, many inconceivable powers by which he can manifest his forms. So by his will, Krishna can hide himself or reveal himself. He may hide himself from his devotees. That is called yoga mind. He may hide himself from the demons. That is simply Mahamaya. They can't see him, that's all. So, in one sense, yes, the Lord is difficult to see, even by devotees. But by the will of the Lord, because he's merciful, he reveals himself to the devotee according to that devotee's qualification. For those who have the greatest qualification, they get the highest revelation of the Lord. Well, actually, what are they seeing in the movie? They're not seeing Rajnikant directly. They're only seeing a movie, which is a bunch of colors on a piece of film projected through a light on a screen. They're not seeing anything, actually. It's all illusory. That's all they're seeing. And they become attracted to him. And they worship him because of that. So, if we have the scriptures giving descriptions of the Supreme Lord, and the spiritual scriptures, and they're heard with qualified devotees, then we should also become attracted. not to the material aspect of the Lord, but the spiritual aspect of the Lord. This is a matter of faith. Huh? Those who have shraddha will begin their spiritual life. Those who have no shraddha will not do spiritual life because they won't accept scriptures. So shraddha means, of course, faith, but particularly it means that we accept the scriptures. And that's how Vaidhi Bhakti begins. We accept the authority of scripture and we do what scripture says. If we're not going to do what scripture says, that means we don't accept the authority of scripture, then we can't do anything, yeah? We can speculate and do our own process. So real spiritual life means that we have faith in scripture. Which scripture? That you can choose. So you can become a Christian or a Muslim or whatever according to your scripture you choose. But all of these are based upon the authority. They have faith in the Bible or faith in the Quran or something. If they don't have faith in that, then they can't even follow those things. Yeah? So all religions assume that first of all you have faith in that scripture, particular scripture. So, if we have faith in Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or the Vedas, then we can begin the processes mentioned there. So it's a matter of choice. Do you want to have an authorized process or not? That's all, basically. If you want to go on the material, fine. Nobody's saying you have to follow. But if you're, you understand there is some sort of, or a necessity of a higher type of activity in this world, and you're inquisitive, then you try to follow this. And you can get faith in the scripture by studying it a little and seeing if it agrees with you or whatever. And then you have faith in that particular scripture, then you follow it. There may be, but usually we can trace that to previous life or previous life or previous life again. In other words, shraddha doesn't just come out of nowhere. That usually it means agata sukriti in past lives. Influence of bhakti creates shraddha, which creates bhakti. Or manifest bhakti. Bhakti is not created.
Between the attitude of possession and the attitude of surrender, this one is greater. As far as the Lord is concerned, the attitude of possession and attitude of surrender, which one is better?
Possession of what?
Possession of the Lord. Somebody thinks that Lord is mine. Somebody else thinks that I am the Lord's man.
Well, these are two aspects of, but those are very high aspects. Mamata, possessiveness of the Supreme Lord, which manifests in bhava and more in prema. And we have possessiveness of the Lord. But that takes two forms in Krishna's pastimes, usually not with the other forms of the Lord, and in conjugal rasa particularly. And it takes the form of Krishna is mine in Radharani and I am Krishna's in Chandravali. Like that. So that's the very high concept of possession. But necessarily, prema and bhava do involve possessiveness. But it can take the form of I am Krishna's or Krishna is mine. Then we have to go to scripture. Well, he's in ignorance. His position in the material world is ignorance. Anadi avidya, anadi karma. If he had knowledge, he wouldn't have karma. We knew the Lord, and we had bhakti, we wouldn't have a karma. We wouldn't be in the material world. But we have karma because we're in ignorance. Ignorance means no knowledge of the Lord, rejection of the Lord. Well, yes, previous lifetimes he has some attraction, an attraction. Maybe it's a gato sukriti, maybe he was a devotee of sorts before.
Well, so you gave an example in this milk and the scripture. Okay. So you said, seeing that scripture is not dependent on the Supreme Lord, okay, in one sense. Okay. So, but if someone explains the scripture, although he says he's not qualified, okay, but scripture is like, you know, it's compared to
It's like Bhagavatam is Mohini. Mohini gives nectar to the devatas and steals it from the demons. Bhagavatam gives nectar to the devotees, hides it from the Mayavadis and others. They read the Bhagavatam, they get impersonal message. Covered up. Same scripture.
But
he is, but that's the nature of the Lord. He hides himself from the demons. Huh? I'm covered, so the demons cannot see me. So the Shishupala sees Krishna. He doesn't see sweetness. He sees my enemy. So the nature of the Supreme Lord. When Kamsa was looking at Krishna, then he saw death personified, and the Vrishni saw he's the Supreme Lord, and the yogi saw he's impersonal Brahman. So everybody sees him differently. The Lord has different faces. Bhagavatam has different faces according to the people that approach him. Because they get no benefit from that anyway. They refuse. In other words, if you're ignorant, how can you be forcibly put into knowledge? Someone says, no, you don't exist when he's standing in front of you. Then what can you do?
Grandrasya Shishmat Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Sarvasvamadas ki
jai.
Is your English 80% of the